Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Speaking of Everything with Jeff Bushman. That would be moi. Tonight, actually, I probably shouldn't say we're breaking format because we haven't done the regular format now in weeks and weeks. So what we normally do is we save the interview for the latter half of the show to make people keep listening, because my thought has always been they'll keep listening to the first half with just me talking through all their boredom, so they can hear the interview, which is more interesting in the second half. But tonight we're going to change that up. Tonight we're going to have as our special guest, Alicia Bushman. As you may have guessed, we're related. She's my wife. And we're going to be talking about health and nutrition and vegetarianism to some extent, and also about how to eat healthily, and even if you don't want to become a vegetarian, that's perfectly okay, and how you can make things that don't have any animal flesh in them quite delicious and enjoyable. Something hard to believe for meat eaters, but there you are. The second half of the show, we're going to talk about Robert Mugabe and Donald Trump in part, and a lot of other things. And at the second half of the call program, we will invite your calls, and we may possibly end early this evening. I'm not sure. But for now, we are here. And before we actually get into the discussion, I wanted to invite you to two different places. One is Amazon.com, and look up Jeff Bushman, or Jefferson Bushman, which is my full name, so you can see the books that I've written that are up there in case you're interested in any of them. One of them, and the one that seems to sell best, is The Mobile Millionaire, about mobile home investments. But we also have a couple of other books. One is a collection of my columns that I wrote for Scottsdale Health Magazine, and the other one is a novel called Bobby's Been Shot. It's a mystery novel you may enjoy, or you may not, but it's cheap and it's an ebook, so give it a shot. Also, if you'd like to support the show, in addition to listening and telling your friends, you may also wish to go to Patreon, patreon.com/Jeff Bushman, all one word, obviously, and no dash on Jeff Bushman, unlike the link for the show, and if you'd like to throw a couple of shekels our way, they would be, of course, welcome. Thank you for that. And now let me introduce the soon-to-be-famous Alicia Bushman. Hi, baby.
Hi.
There you are. Hi.
Hi,
and,
here I am.
There you are. And we're going to talk about, obviously, what I was just introducing. So first, I suppose I'll get it from you rather than just talking about it myself. Talk about how it is that we came to healthy eating and specifically vegetarianism, if you don't mind.
Well, you have had many years of concern about health because you don't have the best genetics, particularly when it comes to heart disease. Excuse me,
mm-hmm.
I have to clear my throat just a moment.
Sure. Welcome to live radio.
Yeah, and we had given up red meat, and I don't even remember how long that was before we did in fact go into being vegetarian, but I think that it's something like somewhere between 5 or 10 years that we were not eating red meat. Then you had done some research, I believe, and everything that you were coming up with seemed to be saying that eventually, you know, having a diet that includes animal products that, you know, like we do eat eggs, but actual meat will eventually precipitate a lot of the inflammatory reactions that then lead to the major illnesses in our society. For example, heart disease, for example, mm-hmm. cancer, which mm-hmm. is in fact, and all diseases have an inflammatory process associated with them. And then as this evolved, and we began to eat more and more just vegetarian foods, we were also becoming aware that, you know, animals have intelligence, they have emotions, they have a capacity to love. And I know that we're all used to that with our pets, but it's also out there in the wild, too. And mm-hmm. we have all had encounters, even though it's rare, perhaps, with a wild animal that does seem to impress us with their intellect and with their capacity for love or empathy or playfulness or generosity. Sometimes, frankly, more than humans will.
Well, more than some humans, at least.
Not, yes, I'm not referring to all humans, some humans, of course. And, you know, and that became part of the consciousness as well as to why it was important to have a plant-based diet. So,
okay. Let me, since in our household you do virtually all of the cooking, so.
I do.
yes. Except when I heat up bread or something. So let me.
I don't think that really counts.
That doesn't count as okay. All right. So anyway, so much for my putting that on my resume. In the meantime, the question is always, and you've gotten this, and I've gotten this in stores. You know, people will, and supermarkets for some reason, people will tend to talk to us, especially when they look in our grocery basket, and they see. When they may not be conscious of it, but they, on some level, realize there's no meat, no hamburger meat, no steaks, no chicken, no fish, nada. By the way, just as an aside, I have over the years spoken to a number of people who say things like, I'm a vegetarian, I just eat chicken and fish. Okay, you may be a relatively healthy eater, and you may be a wonderful human being, but you're not a vegetarian. Just like we're not vegans because we eat eggs, but although we also don't eat dairy. But the point is, vegetarian means eating no animals. Being vegan, of course, means eating no animals.
Eggs are in fact an animal that's in a pre-stage
product.
Of life.
It's
right.
Some,
it
in
is.
In some cases, yeah. Yeah. No,
so
that's right.
The fact,
yeah, some of them are fertilized and some of them are not. But in any event,
right.
and you don't always know that. So, but
right.
other than that, we're not eating chicken, fish, beef, pork, lamb, anything like that. So that's vastly different from the general population. But what I was starting to say is that since you're the cook, why don't you talk about how you prepare foods that can taste delicious without meat?
Okay. Well, I concentrate for a feeling of both including different kinds of foods in our diet for health reasons and also for a feeling of variety in our diet. You can actually make a number, pretty much as much of a variety of foods with a plant-based diet as you can a vegetarian diet. So what I tend to do is I make Mexican cuisine, I make Eastern European cuisine, I make Asian cuisine, and then I throw in some American here and there. And
mm-hmm.
I personally like the vegetarian meat kinds of the soy patties and that can mimic anything from hamburger to sausage to sliced turkey slices, and to me at this point that actually tastes like meat because I've been eating this for so long and I find them a delicious additions to
mm-hmm.
meals. You, because you can't have some of the products that are in those products, you
right.
tend to just go with plain soy that I saute with vegetables. But basically,
mm-hmm.
it's, for instance, if it's an Asian dish, it might be Asian noodles or Asian rice. with...
Why don't you describe how you make Asian rice, just as an example.
Okay. Well, I make just plain rice, and but I make it in a particular way. I actually put uncooked rice in a pan, and we use cast iron pans to cook in. And sauteing the rice in olive oil, I add herbs, a couple of tablespoons of the olive oil to saute the rice in, and I stir it until it gets brown. Then I add the correct amount of water based to recipes I've become familiar with, and I let the water reduce and the rice cooks. The reason I do that is because it gives a nice toasty color and flavor to the rice, as well as cooking it in the herbs. And then, and the herbs I use are usually, depending upon the kind of rice I'm making, sage or rosemary or oregano or basil is a particular favorite. Anyway, and then I sometimes add a little bit of soy sauce as the rice is cooking and use a little less water. And then once that is cooked, I add a couple more tablespoons of olive oil, and I put in a selection of Asian vegetables, which, you know, is like broccoli and carrots and sugar snap peas and water chestnuts, chopped celery, things like that. And I cook that all together, and then at the end of the meal, I will taste it, and I add a little bit of soy margarine to kind of, it gives it a lovely flavor. I add any extra herbs or soy sauce that may be needed. If I've accidentally put in a little bit too much soy sauce, I then go ahead and will add some more vegetables so that the sauce is dispersed over more food. And it makes a great dish. And if I'm going to be adding soy, then I sauté that in the last stages of sautéing it with the vegetables. And
so
let's mention that the soy.
I'm sorry. Let's mention that the soy you add is something you can get in Asian markets, which is a baked. I don't know how you describe it. But baked
soy cake
is what they call it.
Just cut it up in little squares and put it in the food, and it really tastes great.
Yeah, and that stuff tastes kind of meaty, too. Go ahead.
It does, and the texture is meaty as well. So, soy can be made to taste like lots of different things. It's an incredibly versatile food product, and it's also very healthy. So, and then we don't have regular desserts. I typically, when I have dessert, just have a piece of fresh fruit. And I also have fruit as part of my breakfast. We do have omelets. We do have, sometimes a potato dish, like putting sweet potatoes or regular potato up to cook, adding some sautéed vegetables that are poured over it, and that makes a great meal.
Go ahead.
And then, there's the whole Italian thing. You can do all kinds of great stuff with Italian cooking. And there's just really no end to, the sky is the limit. Just use your imagination and think about the foods that you liked when you did eat meat. And, you can go, and if meat was an essential ingredient, to the dish, then, find something that you can use in the market. I particularly like the Morningstar Farm products, and I also like the Qorn, that's Qurn products. I think they're extremely tasty, and they're very healthy.
Yeah, let me add, by the way, in the omelets we have, one of the ways we have omelets is with cream cheese that isn't cream cheese. It's a soy product that they sell at places like Trader Joe's and Sprouts. Trader Joe's has its own brand. They call it vegan cream cheese. But Sprouts also sells the product, which is the fake soy cream cheese, and that is put out by a company called Tofutti. like tofu and then TTI. And in both cases, they're very good. And if you have recently eaten cream cheese, it probably will not fool you. But we were off of cream cheese for a long time before they came out with those products. And frankly, it's not quite as fatty as cream cheese. But other than that, it really does taste like cream cheese. It's very good.
Yeah, and what you do is that before you fold your omelet over, you spoon the cream cheese in the middle of the omelet, and then when it's cooked enough, you fold it over, and then it makes this delicious melted cheese on the inside of the omelet, and then you can saute vegetables if you like, or you like to eat like this unsweetened jam type product on the side that.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes a really nice addition for you. So,
yeah.
And you can also make great breakfast.
Go ahead.
Make great breakfast with cereals and soy milk and adding fruit and toast. I love toast and peanut butter. And it's really great to put peanut butter on raisin toast, by the way. It tastes like a special treat. And, you know, once you've really gotten into eating like this, and I would suggest if you do plan to try it, you do it gradually, like maybe just a few meals a week. And also you develop your cooking skills. And there are all kinds of great recipes on YouTube. And there are all kinds of magazines that have devoted themselves to vegetarian cooking. And you really end up not missing things, but it's not like you can just stick something in the microwave and it's magically there. This is going to take some time and effort to prepare a meal. So
yeah, let me also add that as much as I think everybody in the world ought to be a vegetarian, realistically, if you want to eat healthier and become healthier, the thing to do is, as Alicia was saying, maybe have a couple, three meals a week like this, and or at least one every other day, you know, where you normally would not. So, for example, if you normally have cereal for breakfast, then that's what you're eating, then clearly you don't need to change that in terms of missing meat. But the reality is that one time at dinner, if you can try a meat-free meal and do it in, you know, like the pasta she was talking about, the rice dishes. And yes, recipes are all over the place. Again, you don't have to commit to being a vegetarian. And if you're not ready for that, going ahead and trying it would be a mistake. But if at least try it occasionally, and there's some other reasons to do it, besides avoiding disease, you will just simply, I will tell you from my own experience, feel much, much better. Did you want to comment on that?
Well, I was going to say that in my life, I'm not so much concerned about future heart attacks or cancer, but but I will say that I have had some real health challenges, and when you look at the studies as to what your health profile is likely to be on a vegetarian or vegan diet, as to opposed to what it is if you are a meat eater, there's an impressive difference there, and I have wanted to give myself every advantage in terms of being a healthy person, and it does make it a great deal easier for you to have a steady, healthy weight. It does show on the outside because your skin tends to be much younger for a much longer period of time, so if that's something that concerns you, then you will have that advantage as well. And, it just gives you so much in life. And I'm also going to mention that I have the belief that when we have healthier diets, we also make healthier brain chemicals. So we are not as prone to depression or whatever, anxiety. You know, a lot of the scourges of modern life, it tends to be pretty stressful for a lot of us. So it mm-hmm. helps you bolster yourself up against dealing with that or dealing with it as much. And then if you can add on some practices like a bit of meditation and finding a hobby that you really love and doing some exercising, staying up, you know, active, then you can expand and expand and expand what you have begun by having that healthier diet, at least part mm-hmm. of the time.
Yeah, and also, by the way, there are some interesting statistics I want to mention. Number one, people who are trying to quit smoking actually find it easier to change their diet and stop smoking at the same time, which is kind of counterintuitive, but that's what the numbers say. It's actually easier if you start eating a healthier diet. It's easier to quit smoking. Secondly, talking about health and longevity and all of that, if two people are standing together, same age, other factors the same, you know, both normal weight, and one's an omnivore and one's a vegetarian, I cannot tell you that the vegetarian is going to live longer. And outside the issue of getting hit by a truck, I mean, just talking about normal health and disease processes, I can't tell you that the vegetarian is specifically going to live longer than his or her next door neighbor who is an omnivore and otherwise equal in all characteristics. What I can tell you, however, is this. If you take a group of 10,000 or even 1,000 people, but say a good population size, 10,000 people in one who are vegetarians and 10,000 people who are omnivores, the vegetarians will have more people who live longer, number one. You'll have many fewer heart attacks, and in any given year are much less likely to die, not just from heart disease or cancer, but from any disease, for any reason. So the reality is the healthier diet you eat, the better off you are in terms of health and longevity. Life being what life is, there are no guarantees. The other thing I was going to mention is the thing that Alicia was talking about, which is inflammation. There is a lot of science that suggests that cholesterol doesn't really matter or doesn't matter very much. And that doesn't matter whether it's HDL, LDL, or, you know, PDQL. It doesn't matter. The important consideration is not cholesterol, but inflammation. Now, sometimes high cholesterol levels and high inflammation go together, but very often they don't. And if you have high inflammation, which can be measured on a blood test, if you have high inflammation, that's much more of a risk. You need to reduce your inflammation. If you have high cholesterol, there's very many mixed messages about whether you should take a drug for it, a statin specifically. So, you know, if you can change your diet and alter your life and your blood chemistry by doing that, you're clearly better off than risking the side effects of drugs. Did you want to add to that?
I just wanted to say that by becoming more involved in the plant-based diet, you will find that you have kind of a lift to your mood, and mm-hmm. you will also, I think, find that if you have a tendency to get angry a lot, there is less of a tendency to do that. And I personally think that may be due to the fact that, you know, there is a certain kind of inherent violence in taking the life of another being and then eating it. This perhaps is going to sound a little bit spiritual, and actually I think that it does get into that area, but you don't have to go into that if that's not your cup of tea. The fact of the matter is that when an animal loses its life, when any living being loses its life in a violent way, it puts out really enormous amounts of very toxic to us stress hormones. And, you know, that is something that we really don't want to take into our bodies and into our minds or our proverbial and physical hearts. So, you know, that's something to think about. And believe me, you know, I at one point in my life was a visiting nurse, and I would go to see this one client who had cows they were raising that they were going to be eventually slaughtering on a farm. It was a small mm-hmm. farm. There were a few cows. And they would always come up to the fence to greet me. And
I assume you mean the cows.
Yeah, well, yes. Sometimes the clients would come out and say hi, too. But usually I had to knock on the door or ring the bell. But they were just seemed to enjoy my presence. They would want to look at me. They would enjoy having their noses petted, their muzzles. You know, they sense animals. I have to admit, it doesn't strike me that, generally speaking, cows are real, very, very smart, although I suppose that there are exceptions. But they are definitely emotional beings, and they do sense mm-hmm. when you love animals. And mm-hmm. they return that love, and they want to be petted, they want to be talked to, and they know that when you know that you do that with them, they'll come and they'll wait for you. And they were always waiting for me when I showed up. They knew with time I would show up in some sense and mm-hmm. Wanted to be interacted with and given affection. Now, I found it unbearable to think of them being killed and eaten. I just,
right.
that was tough. Anyway.
Yeah, well, we only have a few minutes left, oddly enough. Time flies, right? But I wanted to also give an opportunity to you to mention the fact that you are going to be starting a podcast at some point in the relatively near future. And and when that happens, by the way, we will tout it on this program. But why don't you talk about what it is you're going to do in terms of a podcast?
Okay. Well, in spite of the fact that I have been involved in science because I'm an RN, I also, from the age of about 12, 13, had an interest in things having to do with the spiritual in my life, and as a young child, had many mystical kinds of experiences which have continued all my life. And I now do astrology and tarot, and have had a what I can best characterize as a near-death experience. And I'm going to be doing a show about spirituality, but the main focus of that show will be healing ourselves from emotional trauma and physical trauma. So I'm also a person who has had to heal myself from abuse that I suffered as a child and adolescent. And that is a lifelong journey, but I have come very far with that. And I want this show to be a place where we can come together and talk about what those healing modalities can be like and how we can proceed with them and what we can expect on that journey and how as we take it, we become more and more sensitive to the spiritual side of life and nurtured by it and how much more nurturing we can be to other people too. So that will be the focus of the program.
Okay, cool. And that brings us right to the halfway mark of the program, which is very clever timing on my part.
It is, and I'm going to say good night.
Good night. I'll talk to you and see you later.
Yes, we'll get together soon sometime. Bye-bye.
Okay, we'll do that. Bye. In the meantime,
bye.
Thank you, sweetie. Bye. And in the meantime, we will kind of switch gears here. From first to third or whatever. But anyway, we're going to talk about more current news than that. But as I said, with regard to Alicia's program, when she begins that, you will hear it announced here and see it on our site at Blog Talk Radio. We're also going to be doing some other things, some additional shows, ultimately, that we'll be adding. If you'd like to comment on what you've heard, you're welcome to do. First off, you're welcome to call in, and I'll give out the number after I've spoken a little bit about what I was going to talk about. But additionally, what was I going to say? Oh, well, the other thing I was going to say is that we will when we add that to the program notes, you'll be able to see it and then be able to click on and tune in her show as well after she begins it. We don't know exactly when that's going to happen. In the meantime, by the way, I'd like to ask for a round of applause for Alicia. Okay, thank you very much. Okay, in the meantime, let me talk about Robert Mugabe. That may seem like an odd thing to talk about since he, as many of you know, was the president for decades, from independence until a couple of weeks ago, in the country of Zimbabwe. Now, Robert Mugabe, as a leader for independence, was really quite admirable. But after that, after he became president, he became more and more dictatorial and militaristic, and he also was a racist. Now, Robert Mugabe was black. He is black. He's still living. Sorry. And what he did as president, among other things, was that he expropriated land that belonged to white farmers and redistributed it to black farmers. Now, frankly, you can argue the justification for that because prior to Zimbabwe being independent, becoming an independent black nation, it was, I shouldn't say independent, it had been independent for a long time, but it used to be known as Rhodesia. And it, like South Africa, was a white minority government ruling the black majority. And they had their own version of apartheid, though they didn't call it that. But Mugabe helped lead, along with at least one other leader, the move towards majority rule in that country. And ultimately, their white leader, Ian Smith, was booted out or resigned and turned over the government to Mugabe and his allies. In any event, as time went on, he did become a racist. Now, the reason I mention that is to point out that racism is not restricted, although it is mostly present in white people, as was demonstrated in part by our president, Donald Trump. Trump, in the last couple of days, has talked about South American and African nations and one Caribbean nation being, as he put it, well, I won't repeat that word, but he used a common guttural slang swear word, to the extent swear words matter, for feces, followed by the word hole. So let's say feces hole. He called those countries feces holes. He then said, why do we need to take in more people from places like Haiti? Why don't we get more immigrants in here from Norway, places like Norway? Well, the fundamental difference between Norway and the other countries he was mentioning is that the other countries were largely populated by people of color, and Norway is not. Now, I should add before I go on that I'm biased. Okay, I didn't say racist, I said biased. My bias is generated by the fact that my father was an immigrant to this country at the age of 3, very much like the DACA kids, by the way. And all 4 of my grandparents were immigrants to this country. The situation with my father, he didn't have the same problem that the DACA kids have because they came in through a normal process and he became a citizen when he was a young man by reason of the fact that his parents became citizens. In those days, if your parents became citizens before you became 21, you were automatically a citizen. That's how his citizenship occurred. My mom was born here. But as the son and grandson of immigrants, besides feeling some affinity for the people called dreamers, the people who came to this country as children, as they were dragged across the border or borders by their parents, obviously had no say in whether they were coming to this country, just as my father and his, at least one of his siblings, did not. They didn't have a say, but they were here. We live in a very different time from then. My dad and his sister and his parents came to this country in 1922, and later that same year was the year my mom was born, but leaving that aside. In those days, he experienced very solid, very clear discrimination. In my life, I have not. Occasionally, something comes up, but it's rare. You see it, you hear it, but it, in terms of it blocking me from doing anything, I can't honestly say it did. My dad was interested at one point in if he had thought about the idea of finishing college, when he finished college, to go to law school. He couldn't go to law school. as someone who was Jewish in those days, many law schools would not, forget about black people and women, they certainly couldn't get in. But likewise, for the most part, Jews couldn't get into law school either, or medical school. That changed, obviously, in later years. But those schools that did allow minorities and had quotas, you could only have so many Jews. Again, I don't think women or blacks were a factor in those days. This would have been in the 1930s and to some extent the early 40s. But that was a situation either you couldn't get in or you were subject to a quota. And once you had so many people of Jewish background in a law school class, no more could come in, regardless of merit. And so that was one thing. The other thing is he fought in World War II. And when he was in the Army, a couple of officers who were above him fought. He was a very bright guy, I should add. Clearly, that's not hereditary. He wanted to go, and they recommended him for officer, what do they call it? Now I can't remember, but officer training school. They have a series of classes you take if you're an enlisted person that would, officer candidate school, that's it, OCS, that once you took some tests and passed, you would go to officer candidate school, and once you graduated, you would become an officer. Problem, he couldn't get in. For the same reason he wouldn't have been able to get into law school. They did not allow Jews in officer candidate school in the Army, at least at the beginning of World War II. I don't know what it was like at the end, but at least at the beginning of the war, you couldn't get in if you were Jewish, so he couldn't qualify. What significance does it have? It only is designed to demonstrate why my bias exists in favor of immigrants, in favor of minorities, okay, so-called minorities. Trump, as I said, made the remarks that I attribute to him, and this has been in the news all day, so unless you've been in a foxhole someplace, you know about this stuff already. And you also know some of the things that I'm going to talk about, but you may not know all of it. And additionally, if you're listening to this program after we've done it live, this will serve as a reminder, as if you needed it. We had Paul Ryan, the Republican, who is Speaker of the House from Janesville, Wisconsin. People are talking in a way about him that is somewhat admiring, saying, well, he came out against what Trump said. As I said, he said, what do we need more immigrants from Haiti? Haiti is a very poor country, obviously. Excuse me. Ryan said, and I may be slightly misquoting, I'm paraphrasing, that the president's remarks were unfortunate, and in his town of Janesville, Wisconsin, they have several Ethiopian doctors who are fine citizens, and he is proud to call them friends. Okay, this is sniveling BS, okay? There used to be kind of a joke, not really a joke, but a way of humorously describing people who were bigots and racists but didn't want to admit it. They would say something like, some of my best friends are black, some of my best friends are Jews, some of my best friends are this, that, or the other thing, some minority group, to demonstrate just how open-minded and liberal they are. And in fact, it demonstrates the obvious. What it says to people who are a little bit more knowledgeable is, you are a bigot, but you're talking about some of your best friends are. Okay, that's nonsensical garbage. And what Paul Ryan did today was trying to distinguish himself from the president, and all he did was make himself look worse. In the past, prior to Donald Trump becoming president of the United States, through an anomaly of our system, specifically the Electoral College. Most people know this, but I'll mention it anyway. He received 3.5 million fewer votes in the country than did Hillary Clinton. He became president because he got his votes in the right places, assuming that, in fact, the Russians didn't play with the voting machines. As a quick side note, some of you listened to, I hope all of you, but some of you listened to the interview we had last week with Larry Hancock. After the show, I talked to him, and we were talking about Russia and their interference in our election. I mentioned him that I'm convinced that at some point it will come out that Russia actually did hack into voting machines in those states where Trump got a relatively low majority. And because that way they could hack relatively little and have a major effect. And what we've been told in the public media and by our so-called leaders is that they did do the propaganda, they did do the Facebook ads, they got involved in other social media to influence the election, but they kind of stole Hillary Clinton's emails and distributed it and all that other stuff. But we're told that at least the voting machines were not affected, and therefore the election was, other than the things I just mentioned, legitimate. My firm belief is that the time will come that we learn that the voting machines were hacked, and Larry indicated he agreed, and I believe he said that some of his contacts or some news he read from Russia suggested that, in fact, that was the case. Okay. But a couple of years ago, we used to engage in the thought, all of us, many of us anyway, that at some point in time, sometime in the future, this country would be a better place than it was then. And now, 2 years later, we are hoping that at some point in the future the country will be better, but the truth is it was better 2 years ago. Yes, we still had racism. Yes, we still had bigotry. Yes, we still had many, many problems, but we were on a trajectory to reduce all of that. Now, just having an African-American president doesn't really mean you don't have racism in your country. Clearly we do. There were incidents all over the country with regard to that, and very clearly racism existed then as well. But at least where it existed and when it was exposed, people were shocked and dismayed. And, well, maybe not shocked, but they were appalled and dismayed. And we worked as a country to try to reduce the amount of racist activity there was in the country. That's not being done now. Okay. Now, we can be a better country again, but there are certain things that need to happen here. For one thing, the Republican Party as a group and Republican senators and members of the House all need to disavow Trump has said about the feces holes in the rest of the world that want to send us their immigrants to become our immigrants. And the other thing that needs to happen is Donald Trump has to do something he has never done. He needs to apologize. Until that happens, until the Republicans disavow his comments and he disavows them himself and apologizes, the Democrats in this country, the people who are in the House and the Senate, need to declare that nothing is going to be passed with their votes. And in the Senate, they need Democratic votes because virtually nothing can pass without 60 votes if it's not directly budget-oriented, and sometimes not even that, that nothing will be passed until DACA is renewed and CHIPS, the Children's Insurance Program, is renewed. Until those two things happen, Democrats need to stand fast, show some intestinal fortitude, and say nothing is going to pass, including any kind of continuing resolution for continuing to run the government. Nothing else is going to pass until that happens. Okay, and if after those things are passed, nothing else will pass until Donald Trump apologizes. He needs to apologize to all of the people impacted by what he said, all of the immigrants who are already in this country, all of the people in other countries who would like perhaps to immigrate here, and all the people who just want to stay where they are but are offended by having their countries called feces holes. All right? Donald Trump very clearly demonstrated today that he's a donkey hole. Okay. Also, when he does apologize, no non-apology apologies, please. That should be part of the deal. No, hey, I'm really sorry if I offended anybody. That's a non-apology apology, a correct apology. When I do something wrong, and I do from time to time, I will say to somebody, I'm really sorry. I didn't realize I was doing that, and obviously I was behaving like a jerk. I apologize. I'm very sorry, and it won't happen again. Or I'll do everything I can to make sure it doesn't happen again. That's an apology, folks. That is laying yourself bare before the person whom you've offended and anybody else that you've treated badly. You apologize. You don't say, listen, if what I said offended you, I'm really sorry. Because what that's really saying is I said what I meant, But if you are so sensitive that you were offended by that, golly, I'm sorry. And I'm sorry to tell you, that's not an apology. That's just being more offensive, saying it's really your fault if you're offended. Okay, that's it. If you want to talk about this, I'll stay on for a couple of more minutes, but we're probably going to end the show early. You can call us at 646-668-2953. Also, if you wish to comment on anything we've talked about tonight, or specifically when Alicia was on, but also just my little rant, you're welcome to, besides calling us, you're also invited to send us a note. You can do that at T as in Tom, J as in Joe, B as in Boy, tjbradio@gmail.com. We do read all the email, and we will comment on it. If you wish to be on the show but don't want to call in tonight, but wish to have discussed with you what you're writing in about, please provide a phone number, and we'll be happy to, depending on what you have to say, we'll be happy to consider calling you when we're on the show and inviting you to participate. So that's basically it for tonight. Next week, on same bat time, same bat station. As of this moment, we don't have a guest yet. Some negotiations have broken down, but we will announce on our Facebook page and on the site where blogtalkradio.com/Jeff-Bushman is, who we will have on when we have that tied down. So you're welcome to, of course, join us and check back on the page. We have gone now 46 minutes tonight, and we are going to end now since I don't see any calls coming in. So let me invite you, as I said, to join us next week. Also to go to patreon.com/Jeff Bushman and to look at the books on Amazon. With that, I hope you have a wonderful week and are kind to each other, and do join us, in fact, again next week. Right now, somewhere, it's around midnight. So we'll talk to you then. Don't go away mad, but I guess you're going away. Good night, everybody.